Welcome to Animals Today, your home for a serious talk about animals. I'm Dr. Lori Kirshner. The biggest animal story this week, by far, was the public killing of a juvenile giraffe named Marius, who was a resident of Copenhagen's zoo. Now, Marius was led away from the others in his enclosure, and as he reached for a piece of bread, was shot in the head with a bolt gun. Clearly, he had outlived his usefulness to the zoo. Now, later, after a public dissection to show the onlookers giraffe anatomy, his remains were fed to the lions housed there. Now, the public outcry has been pretty vocal about this, and from all around the globe. What possible explanation can there be for killing Marius? And what can animal advocates and the public learn from these events? Here to explain and analyze, we are pleased to welcome a good friend of the show, Adam Roberts. Adam is the CEO of Born Free USA and also chairman of the board of the Global Federation of Animal Sanctuaries. Welcome, Adam, and congratulations on assuming the helm of Born Free USA.
That's very kind of you. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Adam, so everyone was shocked to hear the news of the killing of a young captive giraffe in Denmark. Tell us what happened.
Well, I think you described it quite well. You know, there was a giraffe, a young giraffe male, that had apparently outlived his usefulness for the zoo and quite frankly, from a genetic diversity perspective, was no longer needed at the zoo, and they made the decision to euthanize him. And I think, you know, you have a number of different issues that are associated with this event, which amazingly did get worldwide attention. The first is the concept of this happening in a zoo and putting down an animal for anything other than welfare reasons. It seems more convenience than anything else. And the second is the way that they did it, which I think led to this international outcry. And that's perhaps the most surprising bit of all to me, that rather than doing it out of sight of the public and in a way that would minimize public outrage, they did it in full face of the public where this kind of outcry could occur. So it was a very interesting and bizarre situation that I think is going to have repercussions for years to come.
Adam, what explanation is given by the Copenhagen Zoo leadership to justify the killing?
Well, it really is about maintaining genetic diversity. You know, from the zoo's perspective, when they have some of these species in their collections, they look at the genetic diversity of the animals, and obviously they want to keep the genetic diversity as broad as possible in order to make sure that they can continue breeding these animals. Of course, it's an interesting situation because, you know, the genetic diversity means that they're able to breed and be kept in captivity, but it's not as though these animals are ever being released back into the wild, where they would be able to repopulate places of limited diversity in these species. So it's very interesting that that's so important. But it's also interesting that with all of the brain power that we have, allegedly from a scientific and veterinary perspective in the zoo community, that we continue to have situations where these species are bred, and they're bred either poorly or inappropriately, so that these situations arise. And it does happen all the time for a variety of reasons, where animals are attempted to be bred in zoos, and either they fail, which is often the case with elephants, for example, or if they succeed, the offspring live a very short period of time, or, as is the case with Marius, have to be destroyed.
So, Adam, you mentioned that the zoo justifies the killing for reasons of maintaining genetic diversity. What, in your opinion, is occurring in zoos, such as the Copenhagen Zoo, so that a healthy animal can be publicly killed and fed to lions, seemingly without remorse, and as part of standard operations?
I think basically what's happening is poor management, right? They're not managing their quote-unquote collections of animals very well. And as I say, the amazing thing is that the way they did this, the way they went about this killing of this otherwise perfectly healthy animal was astounding, in part because the animal did have options. There were people in other zoos and other private owners who were willing to fund the relocation of this animal so that he didn't have to be destroyed. You know, that's the most important part for me, that there were options and that this animal didn't have to be destroyed. But once they realize that they've made this sort of egregious error in the way that they've managed their giraffe collection at this zoo, you would think that they would at least take reasonable steps to ensure that the euthanasia was done both humanely and out of sight of the public. And obviously that's not what happened. And in fact, there was a second zoo, bizarrely, in Denmark with a giraffe named Marius that had been alleged to be considering slaughtering their giraffe as well for similar reasons. And there was another huge outcry that this was coming, and actually the European Association of Zoos and Aquaria just came out with a statement that this second zoo was now not going to be killing this giraffe unnecessarily. So clearly they're sort of getting the message that this is kind of insane that they're doing this, and that the eyes of the world are really watching.
And I agree with you, Adam. I found it incredible, especially since other zoos offered to take this giraffe, that they would still go ahead and decide just to kill it. Adam, if this animal was considered by the zoo surplus or of subpar genetic stock, why were his parents allowed to mate in the first place?
Yeah, I think you've hit on it, and that's the problem, is that there's no sort of clear answer as to how these animal collections are being managed, how they're determining which species to breed, and how the breeding should occur. And of course, the one thing we often talk about is the nature of zoos and their purpose. And if you listen to the people who are apologists for zoos, they will claim that zoos are for the education of people and for the conservation of species. But I think from my perspective, they're really about entertainment. It's about the public viewing experience rather than the welfare or conservation benefit for having those animals in captivity. And when you look at it from that perspective, that this is really about the human experience rather than the animal experience, it explains why there's so much short-sightedness or limited perspective within the zoo community. And of course, at the same time that we were hearing about what happened to Marius the giraffe, we heard that in England there was a situation where six lions had to be euthanized at a place called Longleat Zoo or Safari Park. And it just sort of brings out the issue that this is not an isolated incident, but rather this kind of unnecessary euthanasia happens all the time in zoos all over the world.
So it doesn't matter whether they're European zoos or North American zoos. It's similar occurrences, correct?
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, you have zoos all over the world that are breeding animals, and they're not breeding them for release back into the wild, and they're not breeding them as some hedge against extinction, because a lot of these species are not going extinct, and a lot of the animals in these collections are not necessarily highly endangered. But again, even if they were highly endangered, they're not being bred in zoos to repopulate the populations in the wild. They're being bred in zoos to make sure that enough zoo collections around the country or around the world have these species to show. So it's a very limited enterprise in that respect, and I think that's what causes these continual problems.
Yeah, you make a couple great points there. I mean, first of all, this reticulated giraffe was not endangered, period, number one. And this notion of conservation with zoos, Adam, so to what extent, if any, do zoos in Europe and North America engage in conservation?
Well, I think that really is dependent on what your definition of conservation is, right? If your definition of conservation is that these animals are being bred and kept in order to make sure that there are still some members of the species alive while they may be dying out in the wild or being under threat in the wild, well, then I guess there is a conservation benefit, because you might have a giant panda or a black rhinoceros or a tiger left in a zoo. But from my perspective, conservation is really about keeping wildlife in the wild and making sure that our funds and resources and energies are being put into wildlife law enforcement, equipping rangers on the ground, stopping demand for these animals who are being killed for their parts and their products, and making sure that the wild aspects of the world are replete with these animals rather than devoid of them. And so, in my estimation, there's no real conservation benefit to having a few individual members of a few species that may or may not be imperiled in the wild in captivity in zoos. It really doesn't serve any conservation function.
Adam, in the last minute that we have, any concluding remarks about the zoo industry and what can be done to either improve it or transform it?
Well, I think there just has to be more forethought into the way these operations exist. I mean, look, I think the bottom line at the end of the day is that people like to go to zoos because they like to see animals. You know, people have a natural affinity for animals, a love for animals, an admiration for animals, and they want to see them. But if that's the case, then I think zoos really need to stop trying to artificially create these animals, breed these animals, put essentially square pegs into round holes, putting animals into places they don't belong, and serve as rescue zoos, where animals that are confiscated from the pet trade or drug dealers or who are orphaned in the wild can actually have a place to live when our sanctuaries, our bona fide sanctuaries around the country, are overflowing. I think that's where zoos could actually serve a decent function rather than artificially creating these environments for animals where they don't belong.
CEO of Born Free USA, Adam Roberts, thank you so much for appearing on Animals Today.
Absolutely my pleasure.
Don't go away. We're going to talk about a recent huge cockfighting bust in New York City. You're going to want to hear about this. I'm Dr. Lori Kirshner. Thanks for tuning in.
Every day in the United States, tens of thousands of puppies and kittens are born. Unfortunately, there aren't enough homes for all these cats and dogs. One unfixed female cat and her offspring can be the source of more than 400,000 cats in 7 years. One female dog and her unfixed offspring can produce about 67,000 puppies. Too many cats and dogs are unwanted anywhere by anybody, so they end up being neglected or abandoned. Millions of healthy pets are killed in shelters annually. In the U.S., on average, 70% of the animals that enter the shelter end up getting euthanized. Fortunately, there is good news. There's a new answer to this dilemma. We can help to stop killing these animals by having our pets spayed or neutered. If you want a new pet, how about adopting one? You can rescue a cat or dog and save a life.
This message is sponsored by Advancing the Interests of Animals. You can check them out at AIAnimals.org. That's the letter A, I, Animals.org.
There's no getting around it. The great outdoors isn't so great for your cat. From speeding cars to toxic lawn chemicals, coyotes to cruel humans, cats are no match to the dangers to today's world. The good news is animal behavior experts say cats don't need to go outside to be happy. Your family will be happier and healthier, too, without the ticks, fleas, diseases, and the dead critters that the outdoor cats bring their owners. And you'll never have to explain to a crying child who or what hurt her pet or why he hasn't come home. For starters, don't let your kitten out. He won't miss what he doesn't know. But even adult cats can adapt to life indoors. The key is to provide attention, exercise, and a stimulating environment. Play with your cat. It's fun for both of you. You can hide toys around the house, too. Just make sure there can be no detachable parts that can be swallowed. Is he still wanting to get out? Consult an animal behaviorist for more tips. Animals Today urges you not to give up. Right now, today, you can protect your cat from becoming a tragic statistic. Tomorrow may be too late. This message brought to you by Advancing the Interests of Animals. Check them out at AIAnimals.org.
I try to find the right one, but it seems like they all just have one thing on their mind.
Having only one thing on your mind can be a good thing when you find that special someone. At Geico.com, that someone is a car insurance policy, and the only thing on its mind is being your soulmate. Depend on easy online tools for paying bills and managing claims. Picture a life of savings as you gaze into the eyes of a free rate quote. That's our go-to move. Geico. 15 minutes could save you hundreds on car insurance.
Staples has great deals on everything you need to launch a startup from your garage. From computers and smartphones to 3D printers and tablets. Everything.
Our business is going to be huge.
Accept permission to use the garage. Thousands of products added online every day. Now get a $25 Staples gift card via easy rebate when you buy a tablet. Staples, make more happen.
Offerings 22214 excludes clearance and e-readers. Customers submit easy rebates online. Learn more at staplesEasyRebates.com. Terms and conditions apply. See cards for details.
Have you heard? Proactive is America's top acne system because it's fast and gentle, and it's all about prevention. So stay tuned for a chance to participate in a 60-day trial to prove it. Do you have troubled skin, acne? With Proactive, you can heal your acne and help prevent new breakouts. Right now, in this radio area, we're looking for just 50 people with moderate acne to demonstrate exactly how fast Proactiv works. The first 50 callers who qualify can try Proactiv risk-free for 60 days. And you get our dermatologist's clear skin or it's free guarantee. Plus, the trial includes our legendary refining mask and green tea moisturizer free. Be one of the 50 lucky people to complete this 60-day risk-free trial. You won't see this offer in stores or on TV. It's a radio exclusive. Supplies are limited and the trial offer ends soon. So call now. 1-800-569-4918. That's 1-800-569-4918. 1-800-569-4918.
Welcome back to Animals Today. Earlier this week, in three counties in New York, as many as 3,000 birds were rescued, and more than 70 people were rounded up in New York State's largest cockfighting bust ever. So far, seven people have been arrested in Operation Angry Birds, which took place in Brooklyn, Queens, and Ulster counties. The ASPCA played a major role in this case, and I would like to welcome Stacy Wolf, Senior Vice President of the ASPCA Anti-Cruelty Group. Welcome, Stacy.
Thank you so much for having me.
Stacy, how did the ASPCA get involved in this particular case?
Well, last year when the investigation first begun, the New York State Attorney General's office asked the ASPCA to collaborate with them, principally because the ASPCA has a blood sports investigation unit with experts in animal fighting, and so the ability to assist in the investigation was something that they were quite interested in having us do. And in addition, our forensic veterinary expertise and our legal expertise in handling these matters, in addition to having the ability to provide temporary sheltering and do the evidence collection and removal of the animals. So for all those reasons, which are all areas that our anti-cruelty group specializes in, the Attorney General really was interested in partnering with us so that we could join together to actually bust this cockfighting ring.
So that's very interesting. So you were involved and needed to maintain secrecy long before the actual bust happened.
Absolutely, absolutely true, as with any criminal investigation, but certainly very important here, where there certainly are a lot of players involved over a lengthy period of time to ensure confidentiality so that nothing is given away during the course of the investigation.
So what role did the ASPCA actually perform related to this large seizure?
Well, as you mentioned, the fight that took place last Saturday night on the 8th in Queens and the pet store location in Brooklyn were the first search warrants that were executed in this case. And our ASPCA folks, expert handlers and forensic evidence collectors, were on site at both those locations to assist in removing the birds, and also in assisting law enforcement in collecting evidence. And, of course, moving those birds to an undisclosed location where we have set up a temporary shelter to provide them with care while they're evidence in the case. And then with respect to the Ulster County location, the warrant was executed at that location, as you know, last Sunday, February 9th. And a very large group of ASPCA responders was on site. I was one of them. To assist with execution of that warrant, which is actually going on still today. And that entails, as you probably know, this is about a 90-acre site with cockfighting sort of shanty towns set up over a good piece of the acreage, many separate locations. And we've been on site going from one to the other and collecting evidence, removing the birds, and transporting them to the temporary shelter. And that's actually, this is, I believe, the sixth day of that operation. To date, I believe more than 3,100 birds have been removed.
Gee. That's a lot of birds to deal with, and I know that you worked in partnership with a number of other animal welfare groups. These are delineated in your release. Who coordinated these efforts with the other groups? How do you get them all on the same page?
That's a really good question. Our field investigation and response team, which is our group that does all of these large-scale cases around the country, has a very sophisticated unit within its own ranks that spends quite a good deal of time building relationships with other folks in the field who have expertise that are really critical to these operations so that then we can call upon them to deploy and assist us. And they are actually incredibly integral. They're animal handlers. They are people with veterinarians and technicians and folks who run the gamut of skills that are really critical to be able to carry through this kind of operation.
Okay, so now to discuss the birds themselves, what sort of condition were they recovered in?
Well, I can't share that many details simply because, of course, the criminal charges have just been brought and the investigation is ongoing with respect to the charges that will be brought. And in addition, of course, they're just being brought to our shelter and examined. So I think we'll know more as this unfolds. But certainly at the scenes in the city, there were birds that were actually engaged in fighting that were horrifically injured, as you know, does happen in cockfighting. You know, animals are pitted against each other, the birds, and forced to fight, faces ripped off, all sorts of horrendous, torturous injuries, which did necessitate at least a couple of euthanasias at the city scenes because it was actually breaking up a fight, at least in Queens. At the location in Ulster County, I was there and did assist in the operation and so was able to sort of see not all, certainly, but a number of the birds. And, there are birds, certainly, who appear to be dehydrated, who have frostbite. I will say that one notable factor is that every place on that property where a bird was entombed, essentially enclosed in a cage, their water was frozen. They were pecking at the surface of their water and who knows for how long could not access water. So we believe dehydration is certainly an issue. There were birds that showed signs of frostbite and many birds that show indicia of having been fought.
Stacy, did it surprise you or does it surprise you that such a large illegal operation can even exist these days with all the means of surveillance and how deeply law enforcement has penetrated illegal activities? It's shocking that such a large operation could exist undetected.
It's a really good point. I think that, I wish that I could say it was shocking, but I would say it's probably not so shocking only because, particularly in locales like this one that are sort of more rural, and interestingly, there's just a house on the road and a house next door, and it's up a driveway, and then, you have to go far back in the property to even see any of this. And, if you have a lot of acreage and you're in a rural area and the area is not that accessible, it becomes much easier to sort of hide the illegal activity, which is why it's so important that if law enforcement, as it's more willing to address these issues, it can take a lot more rigorous investigation to really disclose what's going on.
Yes. Well, we look forward to hearing more news as it's released, and we certainly appreciate you coming on with us today to describe this incredible bust in the efforts of the ASPCA. Thank you, Stacy Wolf.
Thank you so much.
Well, stick around for more Animals Today. We're going to continue the discussion about the role of zoos. What are they really doing? What does conservation mean? And what is the mentality of zookeepers and representatives in European zoos when they kill a perfectly healthy giraffe? Stick around.
If you're like most people, you have lots of plans. A financial plan, an eating plan, an exercise plan, a career plan. You also need a plan for the care of your pets when you're no longer able to provide it. Every day, animals are sent to shelters, terrified and confused, or they're euthanized because their owners have become incapacitated or died. Some people don't give the future a thought. Others assume family members will care for their pets. A better way is to name caregivers and provide detailed instructions about your pal's feeding, play, social, and health care needs. But even family and designated caregivers don't guarantee that pets will have a home. Good intentions sometimes take a backseat to life's realities, such as a new spouse who doesn't like animals, a sudden desire to travel the world, or the adoptive caregiver's own infirmity. A legally enforceable pet trust offers the only assurance that your assets will be used as you wish to provide for the comfort and care of cherished animal companions. More than 40 states recognize pet trusts. Check with your attorney, accountant, or state legislator to see if yours does and how to create one. Animals Today urges you to plan for your pet's lifelong well-being. Take steps today so he or she doesn't risk becoming yet another sad shelter statistic.
When you open the door of a 2014 Mercedes-Benz E-Class, you're not just opening the door of one of the world's most advanced automobiles, you're opening the door to an entire automotive philosophy. A philosophy dedicated to bringing forth innovations that forever change the way the world thinks about cars. With stereoscopic vision, for example, the 2014 E-Class can see better than any other car in its class, and it can take action to keep you and those around you safe. When you open the door to the 2014 E-Class, you will experience nothing less than the future of the automobile, which of course closes the door to any other choice. The 2014 E350 sports sedan starts at just $51,900. Test drive one today.
MSRP for a 2014 E350 sports sedan excludes all options, taxes, title, registration, transportation charge, and dealer prep. Options, model availability, and actual dealer price may vary. Some equipment described as optional. See dealer for details.
See your local authorized Mercedes-Benz dealer for a test drive today, or visit mbusa.com for exceptional offers on many Mercedes-Benz models.
Now, here's something you don't hear on the radio every day. Someone who can't see. I am totally blind. So I go through periods when I'm unable to sleep at night. And I feel like I'm constantly running, but can never quite catch up. But this isn't a sleep problem. It's something called non-24-hour disorder. Learn more about non-24 by calling 855-856-2424 or visiting learnmorenon24.com.
Geico presents Fan Mail to a Pig.
Dear Maxwell, I just want to say thank you for making my Geico Insurance ID card digital. It's easy to find on the app, it doesn't give me paper cuts, and I always have it on hand because it's on my phone. Because of this, I finally cleaned out my glove box, which was filled with years of paper ID cards. Any thought on what I should put in my glove box now? Sincerely, Trent Patterson. Trent, what can you put in the glove box? Here's a crazy thought. How about gloves?
Digital insurance ID cards, just a tap away on the Geico app.
Staples has great deals on everything you need to launch a startup from your garage. From computers and smartphones to 3D printers and tablets. Everything.
Our business is going to be huge.
Mom! Again?
Accept permission to use the garage. Thousands of products added online every day. Now get a $25 Staples gift card via easy rebate when you buy a tablet. Staples, make more happen.
Offer ends 2/22/14, excludes clearance and e-readers. Customers submit easy rebates online. Learn more at StaplesEasyRebates.com. Terms and conditions apply. See cards for details.
If you're struggling to pay or haven't been making your student loan payments, listen carefully to this urgent alert. Have you been out of school for 10 or more years and you're still making your student loan payments? Are your student loans past due or even in default? Can't go back to school because of an old student loan problem? Fast Track Student Loans can get your student loans out of default, stop any wage garnishments, stop collection calls, and stop seizure of your tax refund. Give yourself a break. Stop the stress and get your student loan payments down to as little as $25 a month based on what you can afford to pay. One quick 10-minute call could help you solve your student loan problems. So call right now. Not available in all states. Payments may vary based on income.
800-685-0129. 800-685-0129. 800-685-0129. That's 800-685-0129.
I just sneaked into my kids' rooms and took temperatures while they're sleeping, thanks to my Exergen thermometer. All I did was swipe their foreheads for a few seconds. It didn't even wake them up. My sister, the nurse, told us about the Exergen temporal scanner thermometer, and it's the best. Real value for the money and truly a lifesaver. Now I don't have to deal with ears or rears, if you know what I mean.
I'm Dr. Frank Pompei, founder of Exergen. Thousands of hospitals and clinics rely on temporal scanners. I'm confident you will too.
The Exergen temporal scanner. Pick one up at Costco and other fine retailers, or visit us at Exergen.com.
Welcome back to Animals Today. I'm Dr. Lori Kirshner. Hi, Peter.
Hey, Lori.
So, Peter, I want to discuss with you this topic and my interview with Adam Roberts about the killing of the juvenile giraffe Marius at the Copenhagen Zoo.
Yeah.
This is so bothersome, and as my listeners probably know, you know, by far this was the biggest animal story this week. You know, I read a quote. Let's see, from the scientific director at the zoo, Bengt Hoist. He quoted, Marius's genes were already well represented at the zoo. And almost in the context of this, as if he were justifying killing of Marius, that his genes were already well represented there, so no longer needed.
Incredibly short-sighted.
Right.
And what is the mentality that goes along with that sentence being a justification for this behavior?
Yeah.
I mean, where does that come from?
Yeah.
So, it's wrong in so many ways of looking at it.
Right. You know, I meant to ask Adam, you know, when other zoos and other individuals were willing to take Marius, what were their reasons for wanting to go ahead with their plan to kill Marius? Do you know that? Did you read that in any of your materials?
Well, I have... I might be able to put a little light on that mentality. And yes, why didn't they, when specific requests were made to take him, how can you just turn them down? Well, that's because they're not really interested in the welfare of the animals in general, of the individual animals. I mean, I think Robert's main point in that interview you did was that these zoos are people oriented, and I think that, so if you accept that as your basic premise, like, which I believe, then it all follows that really what happens to these animals is really down the line.
Yeah.
And particularly the individual animal that is not going to be useful for your breeding program, which is useful for trading and generating profit, is just going to be an expense to you to house and feed this animal. He's at the age where he is not as cute as the baby, so it doesn't draw the public. And then you've got just a liability on your hands for as long as this animal's going to be around. It's bizarre, contorted thinking resulting from a people-oriented business.
We really need to stress the point, this is not just European zoos. This is not just happening there, as Adam said. It's happening all over the world.
The Captive Animal Protection Society, CAPS, published some very interesting remarks about this issue. They're very involved in opposing the events here. And they published a quote, another statement from Bertel Harder, who is the deputy speaker and former education minister of Denmark, right? Here's what he said following the incident of the killing of Marius. Quote, "Everybody eating meat, including children, should realize where the meat comes from, as all of us who grew up in the countryside knows. Praise to the zoo for educating to the real world instead of to the fantasy world of political correctness. It is important to show children how livestock can be slaughtered in a humane and decent way." Unquote.
Oh, that's incredible.
Isn't that?
That's incredible.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
He is saying that zoos have a role to play in educating children about meat consumption. Okay, this is the analysis of CAPS, which is really, where did that come from?
This is ludicrous.
Where does that come from?
So, okay, it's important to educate your kids about that, according to his little thinking there. How about when parents take their kids back to the zoo and the kids say, "Mommy, what happened to that cute little giraffe, baby giraffe that I saw last time I was here?" What did the parents say to the kid?
I know. What do you say? It's great. Okay, there's another.
We had to shoot him in the head because we want to teach. Okay.
I know. The head of the European Association for Zoos and Aquaria, Leslie Dickey, also said in a recent interview, and I'll quote Leslie Dickey here, "On Sunday, millions of children ate dead animals. I would say educating our children about where meat comes from, and this included feeding the body of the giraffe to the lion, is an opportunity. These children will have to make a choice as adults whether they wish to eat meat." That's more of this role of zoos in telling kids how to... It's just weird.
It
how
is.
This notion has permeated the logic. And then one more, just round it out here, from Kirsten Pullen. She's the head of the British and Irish Association of Zoos and Aquaria. Kirsten says, "We get more and more dissociated between meat that turns up on our dinner plate and what an animal actually is and what goes on. We run a risk, if we're not careful, of becoming so dissociated with the world around us that it does impinge on our understanding of what happens and what is going on in the world, whether that's how animals interact in the wild or how we get food from farms and onto our plates."
Well, listen, that's a good point, right? Right?
Okay.
Okay, so people eat meat every day. I mean, one might say this killing of the giraffe is not a tragic thing. I mean, we're killing millions of animals, food animals, that's put on our plate every day. And, you know, what's the difference here?
Well, from the difference of the individual animal, perhaps not. And if you are a carnivore human and eating cows and such every day.
That's exactly right.
And yet, the blending of the ideas of what's the role of a zoo, and how has that morphed into teaching people that about making decisions about what to eat when they're home, is, as we mentioned earlier, just strange to me.
Well, right, and that's a good point there, because zoos are not consistent with their mission and their goals. They're not consistent, and they claim they are involved in this conservation, which is really nonsense, right?
Well, that's right. This whole notion of conservation. Each one of the zoos, if you go to their websites, they talk about how important "quote unquote" conservation is to their mission, and they are. To what end? I mean, what Adam also said, Adam Roberts, how do you define conservation?
Right.
And in Adam's view and my view, and I think yours too, it would be to protect the environment and the animals that naturally live in it.
Right.
Right? And not to storehouse and stockpile captive animals for the purpose of just having them.
Right. That's exactly right.
Yes.
Well stated.
So, who can justifiably speak about what the fate of this giraffe is? I mean, how come there's this public outrage that this giraffe was killed? And I think you were alluding to this before. In a zoo, a healthy giraffe killed and then fed to lions. Lions need to eat meat, of course. They like to eat giraffes in the wild. Why the public outrage over this giraffe by the general public, who are generally meat eaters?
Well, that was what I was getting at, and that is a very good point. I mean, so who, you know, your question is who can really talk about this, right? Well, we can all talk about this, but that's right.
So we're as a human people, we are drawn toward cute animals, and we get sad when we hear about dog and cat euthanasia, and yet there really is a very small percentage who really take that further and say, okay, I feel a little strange about eating this piece of steak. It's just it doesn't doesn't really go there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But people in their minds, uh-huh. they see these cows, right, and these yep. chickens, and right. they say these are animals that are meant to be on my plate.
Yep.
They see a beautiful face of a giraffe, yep. and they typically don't say that.
So perhaps if you could see any positive about this, perhaps this is a starting point of a deeper discussion about what's the role of zoos and getting people perhaps to think about what they're eating.
That's a good point.
Well, we can hope. Stick around. You're listening to Animals Today. After the break, we've got a collection of hot news items. So we'll see you soon.
Hi, this is Dr. Lori Kirshner, and I want to thank you for listening to Animals Today. Make sure to visit us on animalstodayradio.com, where you will see all our previous shows, and you can download them free. That's animalstodayradio.com. Also, make sure to become a friend on Facebook. Animals Today gets a lot of its support from the nonprofit group Advancing the Interests of Animals. Check them out at aianimals.org, and I hope you'll consider making a donation to help pay for the ongoing broadcast of Animals Today. Each week on Animals Today, we strive to bring you the highest quality, most up-to-date information about all animal welfare topics, and we certainly would appreciate your support. That website again is aianimals.org. And thanks for listening.
When you open the door of a 2014 Mercedes-Benz E-Class, you're not just opening the door of one of the world's most advanced automobiles, you're opening the door to an entire automotive philosophy. A philosophy dedicated to bringing forth innovations that forever change the way the world thinks about cars. With stereoscopic vision, for example, the 2014 E-Class can see better than any other car in its class, and it can take action to keep you and those around you safe. When you open the door to the 2014 E-Class, you will experience nothing less than the future of the automobile, which, of course, closes the door to any other choice. The 2014 E350 Sport Sedan starts at just $51,900. Test drive one today.
MSRP for a 2014 E350 Sport Sedan excludes all options, taxes, title, registration, transportation charge, and dealer prep. Options, model availability, and actual dealer price may vary. Some equipment described as optional. See dealer for details.
See your local authorized Mercedes-Benz dealer for a test drive today, or visit MBUSA.com for exceptional offers on many Mercedes-Benz models.
If you're a homeowner who's faithfully made your mortgage payments, you deserve thanks for doing the right thing. And I'd like to tell you about a powerful financial tool that rewards your commitment. Hi, I'm Jay Farner, president of Quicken Loans. And the tool that I'm talking about is the Home Affordable Refinance Program, or HARP. HARP is designed to help you lower your mortgage payments. It's for homeowners who are current on their mortgage payments, but due to the housing market, may have little or no equity left in their home. And even if you were unable to get a HARP loan in the past, new guidelines mean that now you may be eligible. More than 2.5 million homeowners have already taken advantage of HARP and are saving an average of $250 a month. If you're one of the millions yet to take advantage, call us today at 800-QUICKEN. To learn more, call Quicken Loans today at 800-QUICKEN or go to quickenloans.com. That number again is 800-QUICKEN.
Important terms and conditions apply. Call us for cost information. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLS number
33. Hot plates, cool stories. Share both this winter at P.F. Chang's. Gather your friends and try one of the six dishes on our new winter seasonal menu. Like the savory red wine and pepper braised beef. Or the orange ginger beet salad with fresh oranges and honey ginger dressing. And for a limited time, visit pfchangs.com and get an offer for $10 off a $40 purchase. See you soon.
If you're struggling to pay or haven't been making your student loan payments, listen carefully to this urgent alert. Have you been out of school for 10 or more years and you're still making your student loan payments? Are your student loans past due or even in default? Can't go back to school because of an old student loan problem? Fast Track Student Loans can get your student loans out of default, stop any wage garnishments, stop collection calls, and stop seizure of your tax refund. Give yourself a break. Stop the stress and get your student loan payments down to as little as $25 a month based on what you can afford to pay. One quick 10-minute call could help you solve your student loan problems. So call right now. Not available in all states. Payments may vary based on income.
800-685-0129. 800-685-0129. 800-685-0129. That's 800-685-0129.
I just sneaked into my kids' rooms and took temperatures while they're sleeping, thanks to my Exergen thermometer. All I did was swipe their foreheads for a few seconds. It didn't even wake them up. My sister, the nurse, told us about the Exergen temporal scanner thermometer, and it's the best. Real value for the money and truly a lifesaver. Now I don't have to deal with ears or rears, if you know what I mean.
I'm Dr. Frank Pompei, founder of Exergen. Thousands of hospitals and clinics rely on temporal scanners. I'm confident you will too.
The Exergen temporal scanner. Pick one up at Costco and other fine retailers, or visit us at Exergen.com.
Welcome back to Animals Today. A bunch of celebrities are asking the president to get involved in the Taiji dolphin slaughter opposition movement. They want the president to refuse to sign an international trade agreement until Japan bans the capture and slaughter of dolphins in the fishing in that fishing town. We all know that yearly there's a horrible culling where a couple of dolphins are scooped up and sent to aquaria and dolphin petting zoos around the world, and most of them are simply slaughtered, and it's a horrible sea of red blood. Well, the usual cast of characters, Sean Penn, Cher, Susan Sarandon, Jennifer Hudson, Gwyneth Paltrow, Charlize Theron. I do like her.
Yeah, I know you do.
And Ellen DeGeneres, who may be the strongest voice in all this, and William Shatner, the funniest voice in all this, are gathering together asking the president to actually get involved here. I think this will fall on deaf ears, but at least they're saying something. But, you know, what do you think, anything will happen?
I really don't.
Yeah.
I really don't. I don't think the president cares.
You know, the Japanese officials, in response to calls like this and similar ones in the past, have pointed to the animal exploitation industries in the U.S. and North America as to make the point that we should mind our own business, that we're being hypocritical, we're shooting our own wolves, we're killing our own. We've got this crazy factory farming system, and who are we to point at their relatively small traditional cultural killing of dolphins.
Yeah, what are your thoughts about that?
Well, I think we'd be a much stronger moral ground if we behaved much more uncompassionately over here.
Right.
I have to agree with them to a certain extent. I mean, the dolphins are beautiful. They're cute. That's why everyone's really focused in on them right now, right? I think you're much a stronger position if you're going to say, okay, I'm adopted a vegan lifestyle, I'm an environmental advocate, I'm living green, or whatever values you bring to it. Now I can say, okay, join me, instead of saying, you know, thump your chest and say, hey, you guys over there, cut it out. I don't like it.
Well, the U.S. is never going to get to that point, I don't think, or a long time before we get to that point where we can say, okay, I'm vegan, we're animal advocates. Okay, now we have a position to say, stop that.
Yeah. So at least for the meanwhile, you may be better off saying, okay, maybe buying out the whole industry, similar to what has been proposed in the Canadian seal slaughter business, right, where maybe you can just give these folks additional different alternative careers, right, or just shaming them into compliance. Maybe that's what they're trying to do. Maybe that should be just public shame, worldwide shame.
Yeah, that's a good point. You know, I just think any opportunity we can to help animals, no matter what kind of animals, is, it might be inconsistent in your view and or in other people's minds, but we just, whether it's here or other countries, we just gotta do what we can. And so I praise these celebrities that are trying. I think it's going to fall upon deaf ears, but, you know, at least it gets the message out, it gets their point out, and it educates the public about what's going on with these dolphins.
Now, one of the, I should just add, Russell Simmons is involved in this, and I do believe he's there. He has adopted a vegan lifestyle. Are you aware of that? I don't know these celebrities. I'm sort of out of my
head. I think a couple of them that you mentioned are. I know.
But your point that you just made is that even so, go out and do what you can.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
We got to help the animals in any way we can. And we'll educate people about other animals another time. But if this comes up, a situation comes up, we just got to do it.
Well, the president does like his celebrities, so maybe it's a good tack to take with
yes, the president does, so we'll see what happens.
Okay, back to New York City. Former Mayor Bloomberg, he had previously vetoed an animal abuse registry in the city, so now he's out, and there's a new regime, new administration, I should say, and they are going to reinstate the animal abuse registry and get it adopted in New York City.
See, I like that.
Yeah?
I like that. I want to know if my neighbor is an animal abuser.
Uh-huh.
Don't you?
Yes, I would like to know that. Because I think I don't want to live by them, and it makes me worry about that.
Yeah.
I think it tells you a lot who your neighbors are.
Right.
But what else should I? You're an animal lover, so animal advocate. You want to know a registry for animal abusers. Are there any other registries you'd like to have for other crimes? I mean, where does this lead? Do you want a registry for car tire slashing?
I know what you're trying to get at here, and I think. I think, you know, child abuse and animal abuse I think this is a good idea. I think people should know.
Okay.
And I think these minor offenses, you know, no, that's unnecessary.
Mayor Bill de Blasio is going to decide which agency is going to launch the registry. It's going to go effect in October, and a city resident convicted of animal abuse under the law is going to have to self-register for the list, and perhaps the police department will be involved in looking at that. So we'll see how that gets implemented. A guy was charged in an Amish buggy drive-by shooting. A fellow recently shot and killed a horse, which was pulling a Amish buggy. That's a little bit... A lot of anger, I would say. I mean,
why?
Oh, he just shot him and drove off, and unfortunately, the animal died before the veterinarian reached the family's residence.
And I want to know where that guy lives.
And this I'm not going to tell you where he lives.
Okay, that's why we need a registry.
Right. And in Sochi, unfortunately. You know, the wild dog situation, who knows how many have already been killed before attention was brought to this. But a happy story of U.S. Olympian Gus Kenworthy, who rescued five dogs and is working on bringing them back to the States himself. So thanks, Ken.
Yes. And thank you for tuning in to Animals Today. This is Dr. Lori Kirshner encouraging you to nurture your love and compassion for the only other beings sharing our planet, the animals.
The opinions you hear on the Business Talk Radio Network are those of the host, callers, and guests, and not necessarily those of this station, Business Talk Radio Network, its management, or advertisers. The information on the Business Talk Radio Network does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. Investing involves risks, so please consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions or comments about the Business Talk Radio Network, contact us at 203-323-7300 or at our website, businesstalkradio.net.